In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Of all the misconceptions about foods I discuss in the clinic, the most surround eggs, so here's a few things that I'd really like to clear up once and for all. For a long time, people with high cholesterol were told to avoid eggs. Yes, eggs do contain fat and cholesterol, but not all fats are bad, and it's now widely understood that the good cholesterol within them doesn't increase your level of bad cholesterol. Raw eggs are not a better source of protein than cooked eggs. In fact, you are more likely to absorb more protein from cooked eggs and far less likely to get ill. And if they're thoroughly cooked, they're absolutely safe for pregnant women to enjoy too. Many people don't eat yolks because they're considered to be unhealthy. However, it's the yolks that contain pretty much all of the nutrition in eggs, so stop throwing them away. There is no recommended limit on how many eggs people should eat, so please do enjoy two or three at breakfast without any concern. On your next supermarket list, add Clarence Court free-range eggs. I'm telling you, the rich flavour and colour of their yolks really can make the most ordinary recipes extraordinary. You can find Clarence Court eggs in all the major supermarkets, including Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Tesco, Ocado, and to learn more, please visit clarencecourt.co.uk. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, I'll be joined by special guests, all of whom can be considered authoritative voices in health, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. Despite the seemingly endless benefits that physical activity has for your health, most families are still not very active. In fact, the World Health Organization states that in the UK, we are now 20% less active than we used to be in the 1960s. And if this current trend continues, we will be 35% less active by 2030. Now, with all too many parents working long days and kids spending more time in front of screens, it's no wonder that an estimated 1 in 3 children are now overweight. So, joining me today to help us understand how to find that perfect work-life balance and keep fit as a whole family is Carly Rowena, personal trainer, fitness blogger, and mum of one to Jax. Hello, Carly.
Hello, gorgeous.
Hello. Well, I think the question everyone wants to know the answer to is, how do we find time to exercise when we're all so busy and so tired?
Oh, is that the ultimate question? I think that's probably my number one question. And you know what? There is a really easy answer. A lot of it is excuses, which sounds awful. We are all tired. We all have so many things going on. And I think until you make exercise, like sleeping or eating, it's never going to become your priority. Mm. And I think that's what I've always said to people. If you can move. And exercise has kind of been tarnished with this thing of an hour in the gym. Yes. And that's not what it is. It's moving. So walking to work or walking in your lunch break or taking your child and going for a walk to the park, it's just moving. So in that way, I'm sure all of us can find time for that. But we probably don't have an hour, but that's fine because we don't need to have that.
I love that approach. I think you're right. We don't ever think of it as a pillar that's an enjoyable, like, well, you want to prioritize sleep or you want to prioritize nutrition. But like you said, my favorite way to keep active is walking to work, you know, walking to Harley Street and clinic. And for those who do say they have, you know, no time, what do you suggest they start to do to start to increase activity then? Where can they start?
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally feel like at the moment I have no time, and I'm sure you feel the same. And people who've got kids, I have a little girl and she's 9 months. So I am with all the mums and saying you don't have time. And also there's a huge guilt factor as well. I think when you're a mum that you should be prioritizing everything on them and the selfish time on you is not so important. But for headspace and mental health, it's so important. So yeah. One thing I recommend doing, I did it with all my clients. When I used to have PT clients, after a workout, I'd get them to write down everything we did. They would then store it in a jar. And then when they went home, if they had, say, the food was cooking, their little one was asleep, someone was watching a TV program, they could just pull out a couple of those exercises and just do them on repeat. So whether they could find 5, 10, or 20 minutes, that was perfect. And that was where the workout cards came from. But for me, it's just finding little pockets. I mean, we all have enough time to scroll. So there is still time that even if you're scrolling while sitting against the wall doing a wall sit, that's some movement.
That's so true. We do all find time scrolling and that time could be used wall sitting, scrolling. I like your thinking there. I think what is worrying is the fact that obviously you're a mum and that nearly a third of children now are classified as overweight or obese. So how can we encourage them to exercise more?
Yeah, so our kids are a reflection of us. So I'm so sorry on this. And I know it's really hard. The more they see you move and enjoying it, the more they will. So there's kind of a generation, there's a mixture. We've got the kids that are growing up with parents who did like Weight Watchers and things like that, who are so fixated on their food. But then we have kids that have seen their parents do CrossFit, for example, or they've seen their parents work out in the front room to like a Davina DVD. Those kids end up following. And we've all seen the super cute videos of yogis with their little ones trying to do the same poses. So the best thing I can recommend doing for your child, if you want to enroll them into different types of classes, different kinds of sports, amazing. Or if you can just do some exercise with them at home, playing in the garden. It doesn't have to be a workout. It can be just running around the park. It can be running after the dog, especially a dog is a fab way if you want to get some exercise to a family. Or it can just be playing games where you're encouraging them to move around more.
I think like you said at the very beginning, there's the misconception of gymming. And of course, applying exercise to a child, it can be confusing to think, well, what did I do when I was younger? But like you said, it's just running around in the park.
Yeah, it's doing these like handstands and cartwheels and crabs and dancing. A lot of it, I know I'm useless at a cartwheel, but it's dancing, which is one of my favorite things. So whenever I take on a new client, I say to them, how do you love to move? And so many people just think, I don't know if I do. And I'm like, well, do you want to climb or dance, or do you perhaps want to run or jump on a trampoline? There are so many different ways that you can move, and you can do the same thing with your children.
It's so true. I think though the fact of doing a cartwheel, it's very daunting now. I'm further away from the ground, but
I know
I may not mirror that for my future child. They may have to go and do that with the other kids in the playground. I mean, what are the best forms that the whole family can do together? So I don't know, indoor activities or going out, like you said, to the park as a whole unit.
So as a whole unit, I mean, it's very old school, but we all used to play things like rounders and tennis at home. Do you remember swing ball and you'd all play those kind of things?
I used to love that.
It's taking it backwards, you know, even Twister in the house. It's literally just getting your kids away from sitting down with their neck down, playing on a game or on their phone. If we can try and improve posture, it's going to make a massive difference. Then it's doing things like trampoline parks or playing in the parks and maybe going and watching a football game or watching a different game and seeing if your kids get interested by that. I mean, there is literally the most incredible classes out there. And also don't forget swimming, like going to a lake, a beach, swimming, paddleboarding with kids. I've seen so many kids trying those things. You just have to kind of think outside of the box.
I love that idea. I mean, in terms of getting to the swimming pool as well, because I think we all have memories of learning to swim and the little badges that you used to get. It can be quite motivating. And I think to get people to go together, maybe even just one day at the weekend, just taking your children to the local leisure centre.
Yeah, it's so nice. And also, it's good for the adult because a lot of us aren't switching off. And actually having that one-on-one time where you're moving your body and you're out in the fresh air, you can just be in a forest or you can be in the swimming pool, you're going to feel so restored after that. So many of us are just tied to being indoors, tied to frantically doing errands all the time, thinking we need to do a million things when really it's just taking it back to basics.
One of the things my client said the other day in clinic was that she took her family just for fun because they were desperate to get out of the city, and they've lived in London their whole lives. They went to the very end of the tube line. I'm just trying to think what stuff it was. And she said, to be honest, I hadn't really thought it through. I just said, come on kids, we're going to go out of London today. Let's just go to the end of the line.
How far we can go.
Yeah. And I think they ended up in some random park, but there was a bit more fresh air and they really enjoyed it. So if you're in a city, try and get out. Equally, maybe if you're out, sometimes try and come in.
Yeah, definitely. And I've said it to clients before where, you know, people that don't like running, I'm not particularly an amazing runner. So I said to people, why don't you do like a bit of a jog and then stop and challenge yourself to jog to a coffee shop and go meet friends, or take three photos of something that inspired you or made you smile while you're out on your jog. So it's not like I've got to run, I've got to do a half marathon. It's just I'm moving and I'm also taking in my sights. And that's such a lovely thing to do. And I've seen kids being on a bike while the parent is running, and it's just, you know, it's lovely to watch.
I love that idea. In fact, you know, taking pictures of what you see, be it the lovely tree, like I noticed that it's as we're recording this podcast, it's autumn now.
Yeah.
And I noticed the colour of the leaves this morning. I should have taken a picture of the leaves. And if you have a family, you can get them to paint your leaves.
Yeah.
And you go, okay,
and you can do silly things like tell them to go pick up the leaves. Like, it's literally movement. So going out for a walk, telling your kids to pick up three things that they loved and bring them home, it's an activity, isn't it? So anything you can kind of do to just get them more connected to the world around them is amazing.
Oh, all this enthusiasm. This is why we needed you on this podcast, Carly. And I must touch on something that I found incredibly inspiring, and that is for you in particular, working out when pregnant. I know it's something that you were really keen to dispel the myths around. I mean, what did you learn training your body during this time?
So much. So I am a personal trainer, and prior to being pregnant, I did all of the qualifications. But nothing prepares you for when it's your own body. And obviously, it's hard because how many women are going to stand up and say, I'm happy to be a, you know, a study for something like this? So I kind of treated myself in that way. Obviously, there was online criticism, but a lot of people didn't realize that my job has always been in fitness. And although, yes, I was exercising and what I might have been doing was more extreme than what other people were doing, you've got to take note of what people's previous history was. So for me, I've always done CrossFit. So I was going to continue with CrossFit, but I was going to reduce down the intensity. So I would never say, you're pregnant, let's now do CrossFit. Like, that would be a really silly idea. But whatever you're doing before, you can continue to do it, just reduced. And if you weren't doing anything, that's where I'd recommend getting a trainer in or going to some of the classes that you can do when you're pregnant. But for me, I guess gut instinct became really primal, and I realized I really had to listen to myself with food and with exercise. I had to kind of switch off a little bit to people around me because everybody has an opinion.
Well, you received, I remember you sharing with me some of the awful comments that people were making about, you know, you could be harming your baby.
Yep.
And we both know that actually the literature supports exercise throughout pregnancy.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, you know, the people that kind of saying those things, it was 0.1%. And I sometimes wonder if those people didn't know me before and they just saw my posts. There was a lot of, you're trying to keep your abs while pregnant. My abs went within like 5 days. I couldn't care less. It was more for mental health, in total honesty. Movement for me has been part of my life since I was 17. I would have felt, I mean, when you're pregnant, everyone treats you like you're ill. It's a broad statement, but a lot of people really do. They expect you to feel really ill. Everyone's, you know, kind of wrapping up in cotton wool, and I've always been very independent and I haven't needed that. So being pregnant and everyone thinking I'm this sort of precious thing kind of stressed me out. And going to CrossFit, being in the community I've always been in, still being able to move and getting my endorphins, sweating it out, being around people, that hour was the most, it was just such a good hour for me and kept me going until the day of
birth. Well, I'm sure it also helped you forget perhaps in the first trimester how nauseous you were feeling or what was that like? Because a lot of people do feel, I mean, every pregnancy is individual. Some can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
Others can, but it's unbearable.
Yeah, it's, you know, every person is different. And I felt nauseous the entire way through, I think to about 14 weeks, but I was never sick. I've never been sick. I've never been a sick person. So I think I was always holding it in. And it was horrendous. And also being online, I wanted to scream at everyone and go, I'm pregnant. I felt like being so transparent all the time. I then felt like, oh, I just can't go online in case someone's going to comment and say something. I felt like everybody knew, but nobody did. And I think for me, during that first trimester to be able to continue doing the things I always did. I did tell my coaches I would always recommend doing that. Even if you're 4 weeks in, just let them know, because then they can kind of have a level of, you know, of worry for you, and they can just kind of adapt things. And also, I remember doing a workout and it was like 100 burpees or something. And I just got to the point where I was like, I don't really want my stomach touching the ground. But obviously, they've seen me do competitions. And my coach was like, come on, Carly. And I was like, I'm going to have to go and tell him, because my ego here wants to do it. But also, I don't want to do it. I'm going to trust my gut. So it's really important to tell your coach.
Well, when is it also important to stop exercising? Mm-hmm. How can women who are pregnant look out for that?
Yeah, so you need rest days, definitely. For me, the key things are reduce the intensity, increase the rest time, and up your hydration. Mm. And really listen to your body. Like in textbooks, it says nothing overhead. I was totally fine. I was never dizzy. I definitely recommend stopping the ab-based movements. There's just no need. But I do recommend working on a strong core, however, so like your compound lifts. For me, I'd say you know when to stop when you're achy. Like as, you know, your body kind of changes. I was finding I kind of had a bit of sciatica going on towards like 4 o'clock. Everything was just heavier. So I always switched my workouts to the morning. I kind of knew that was when I had my most energy. And listen to yourself. If you feel tired, don't go and push it. And also remember, as we said at the beginning, there's so many different ways to work out. So I ended up walking the dog. Majority of the time I was walking the dog, and then I was going to kind of CrossFit, but the intensity was a lot less, and I was just doing that more for mental health. I'd go for a swim. I'd maybe do some stretching and some yoga at home. You know, you just listen to how you feel that day, as you should if you're not pregnant.
Well, equally, yes, exactly. So moving on from pregnancy to the fact you now have the wonderful Jax, who is 9 months old. You might have already experienced this, but children can be very fussy eaters. Mm-hmm. Are there any tips that you have that can help tackle this?
So obviously I'm very new to this.
Yes, you're beginning Jax... this phase now.
Yeah, Jax started at around 6 months. She's only just got her first, no, she's got two teeth now. So I must admit, even for me, I was a bit like, oh, is she going to be handling these things? In all honesty, we had a high chair from the word go. So she was always in there, even from newborn. When we were having dinner and breakfast, she would always be at the table with us to kind of make it familiar and make it comfortable. We've also always had music on at mealtimes, but never like a TV or any kind of, you know, gadgets. And I've always tried to have fun with her. So when we're having mealtimes, I mean, some people are very precious about their house. We have got food on the ceiling right now. literally let her have all the fun. I generally give her her own spoon, and I have a spoon too, because she likes to kind of put things in her mouth. Or generally at the moment, we're just putting our whole hand in the food and then straight in the mouth. And just laughing and having fun. And also remembering that she might not like something that day, but still keep trying, because the next day she probably will. And all I followed was the rule of kind of doing all veggies. So for the first 3 weeks, we just tried every single vegetable. She's still yet to have anything that is processed. We haven't really done any of that at the moment. We have had a couple of like snack things that have been made. I think it was piccolo we tried a couple of pieces of. But in general, we've just done all the veggies, and then we've kind of moved on to adding in some fruits, because kids love anything that's sweet. So if you can start with the kind of more bitter taste, it's just generally more helpful.
That's the best thing you can do. I think something that I find a lot of parents in clinic come to me with is that they do the sweet first, and then they really struggle when it comes to reintroducing.
And of course it tastes delicious. I've tried those ones. Those ones definitely taste better. And then I guess we've also given her, you know, broccoli, carrots, things like that to hold. And she loves that kind of learning. So it's really fun. It's messy. And a lot of it is kind of sharing and getting her to eat food with you, I think, is the most important thing.
Don't wear your best outfit when you're feeding
your child. No, I mean, naked is the only way, really.
Yeah. And like you said, playing music. So music's the only thing that lights up your entire brain. Yeah. So it's so interesting, because that probably does heighten her enjoyment at the time, or focus on the food, which is such a good tip. So what do you think about shopping and cooking together as a family? Mm-hmm. So I know your husband Leon is incredible. And does it happen in reality that you guys are on par with this all the time?
I mean, let's all be honest here. We're not together all the time. We both have crazy jobs, just like everybody else does. We try to sit down and have the main meal in the evening together if we can. I generally am doing kind of lunchtime, and depending on which one of us has gone off to work out, the other person is generally doing breakfast. So as long as one of us is with her, and then at some point in the day she has both of us, that's kind of all we can do with cooking. We always have her in the kitchen while we're cooking around. I have to admit, Leon is the better cook. He's one of those ones that gets out every pan, whereas I just get one pan and put it all in.
Sometimes I think that creates more mess. So my husband's the same, you know. He gets every blooming pan. I'm like, oh, just I have
one,
to wash up now.
Just one pan. Yeah, exactly. So we'll show her and we'll have fun. And again, we have music going on and we're trying to make it fun. So she is in the kitchen. I don't want to have her in another area while we're cooking. So she's around for all the smells and everything. Yeah. And annoyingly, it's normally what wakes her up in the morning is when Leon starts making his breakfast. But yeah, I think it's important to be in that environment.
And do you meal prep together as a family?
Yeah, maybe? So I haven't had to meal prep as much now. I'm generally at home and I do love just cooking things. I love fish dishes. So generally, I prefer to just make them. But Leon is always meal prepping on a Sunday. Yeah. And we do meal prep her food. So we'll make a load of bits and then we'll freeze it. So she's kind of seeing that happening as well.
That's so good, because there's a fact that one in eight of us now just don't want to cook from scratch. Mm. So the number is going up and up. But if you make it enjoyable, like you've said.
Kind of do it on a Sunday night. Like we order the food shop to come for 5 and then we're all doing food prep at like 6 and then she goes to bed at 7.
It's so nice. And the fact you try and make it, like in the Mediterranean, they always have family meals. You sit down together. You see the benefits of social interaction. Do you invite other friends over now? Does Jax join you?
Yeah, so we've kind of been very social since having Jax. I mean, day 3, we were already out. And yeah, we've been very busy. I mean, we're in London today and she's going to come to all of the meetings with us. So we tried to include her on the food. She had her first taste of apple crumble the other day and definitely loved that.
Oh, don't blame
homemade
her.
Apple crumble. And yeah, I just want her at the table. Whether she's making a mess or not, I think it's the best way for her to learn.
Perfect.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
I mean, we live in a world, like we've said, of convenience foods. And it kind of pains me when I see small children eating something completely unnecessary. And I see it a lot, you know, a pack of Quavers maybe instead of a piece of fruit that would work. What do you tend to pack with you when you're on the go? So today Jax is in London with you. Do you have any go-to items?
Yeah, so in her bag she's got a couple of things. So one, she now loves water, which is great. We had to kind of figure out which cup was right for her. Two, we always have some mango with us. She absolutely loves mango and it's quite nice for her to hold. Banana is always in the bag as well because that's super simple. And then generally now we do have either we've made like a porridge that we can bring with us or like a sweet potato, or sometimes it's like a pea and mint because she loves that too. And again, if not, we have had some of the piccolo pouches for if we're going to be here all day and we haven't got a fridge or a freezer, they work really well, non-messy. But normally on a day like today, I'll try and find 30 minutes where we could pop and go to a restaurant, breathe for a second and just order her something that she can have that we can mash up.
I think that's the best way, is that you don't need to order separate children's meals all the time. It's actually better for them to share a bit of yours.
Yeah.
And I actually tend to find children's menus are a lot to be desired. I mean, they need an uplift.
It's very much fast food for kids, isn't it?
It is.
And I'm always like, she would just love to have what I'm having. Give her a bit of the sauce and then mash up everything else. And yeah, she always wants what you've got anyway. So. Yeah.
Exactly. Now let's talk about phones. So we know, rather scary, that 1 in 5 of us can spend, just wait for it, I mean some people more probably, up to 40 hours a week on our phones. How do you and your husband, Leon, you know, minimise screen time, considering it's part of your jobs as
well? Yeah, so we've been really up on this because I remember when the screen time thing came in and it showed you how many hours you had and, actually my thumb was hurting as well. So I was thinking, I am using this too much, from scrolling. So one, we've used the screen time app. I set mine from 7 till 7, so it goes off, which is fab. It just means I literally have phone calls and WhatsApp and that's it for emergencies.
Yeah.
Two, phones are not in the bedroom anymore. We were finding we were scrolling when we should be spooning, so that came off. And we've just now bought an old school clock, which is just better. It goes off as an alarm and neither one of us are looking at our phone, so that's great. Also with Jax, she is yet to have a phone or really watch TV. I've kind of just kept that because I grew up as the generation that didn't have any of that. And yeah. I was an only child, and I had a great imagination. And I kind of want to instill the same thing to her, that she can play and keep herself occupied yeah. without needing this. I see nothing wrong with it, but I just don't think at her age right now she needs to be looking at any of that. And a lot of it is just so highly stimulating that I see her personality changes when she's around like a TV screen wow. and we're out massively. So for us, yeah, that's kind of been the best thing. What else have we done? Leon tends to just play music via his phone and kind of leave it. And a lot of us set like a sort of 5-post minimum. Like I'll look at the top first 5 and then I come off.
I think those are wonderful ideas. And like you said, how it stimulates Jax as well.
Yeah.
Often I'm now seeing families going out for dinner, and I'm not judging. I'm not here to judge, because you never know what the situation's like, do you? I don't know what I'll do one day when it's my child at the dinner table. But I would hope that I could keep technology to a minimum, because seeing kids on their phones or iPads playing games at the dinner table is a way to keep them quiet.
And if that's all they've known, then that's why I see that happen. But in reverse, it breaks my heart when I'm seeing parents. The kids are sitting there not on a phone and the parents are. I've been to so many restaurants where the kids have just kind of been sitting and sort of just looking around while the parents are ignoring them because they're on their phone. Or, you know, mum's walking with a pushchair and they're just on their phone. Or so many mums with headphones in while they're taking their kids for a walk. And you know, that's kind of a lovely time to connect with your child. You can talk to them as you're kind of walking. And I see why we all need our own headspace and everything. Yeah. It's really important. But I just think if you can stay away from technology until at least they're like 2, that kind of first bit they don't need, I just think it'll make such a big difference.
I want to see a lot of data on that. I think there is some out there, but I think it'd be fascinating as time goes on and technology grows to have more research on that area. So we've seen the government are encouraging us to include more muscle strengthening exercise into our routines, which I know you'll be really pleased about. What are these and why are they important?
Well, it's just, a lot of us became cardio bunnies, which there's nothing wrong with. But at the end of the day, you want a good round health, and muscle is very important. And a lot of us, I feel like, are just trying to go for that very slender look where we are a bit more wafer and don't have much muscle. Muscle is the most incredible. When you can touch a body and it feels kind of firm and you've got some definition and shape, that is just, I think it's beautiful. So for me, I'm always trying to get my clients to pick up some weights or pick up their child. I mean, that's a weight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's quite a heavy weight.
Yeah, like 10 kilos at the moment. So wow. I know. So I think, and also the independence, especially as women, to feel stronger, then you can do so much more. So my primary focus for all of my clients is to be able to run for the bus if they're missing it, to carry their own shopping, to be able to pick up their child without a detriment of their posture.
Well, of course.
So for me, being able to lift some weights in compound lifts or being able to do body weight as well, don't forget that's doing the same thing, is so important.
Because I read that we waste as much as £558 million as a country on unused gym memberships.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. No. And that's one thing I always say. People come to me and they think they need to go to the gym. Think about what you actually want to do, because if you are training for something specific, then obviously you need to go down a certain route. If a gym, and I am the same and I've worked in gyms, demotivates you, and it does for me, a lot of the time you walk in and it's one of the most self-conscious places I've ever been in, because everyone's trying to fix something or change something. Everyone's looking down or looking at themselves in the mirror. It doesn't do anything for me, because most people are just going to do the things they're good at. They're not going to do the things they're not, because everyone's watching.
Exactly.
So think, okay, actually, I just want to move. So maybe dancing's right, or maybe doing a class is right,
or
going
for
a run club or a home workout or a DVD or with a friend, anything like that. I just think about what you want and what does or doesn't do it for you, and then go down the route that does.
Yeah, the best advice, because we know as we age, we lose muscle mass. It
can and balance as well. Many clients that I have that are over sort of 50, 60, balance is gone. So working on the sort of single leg movements and plyo movements are really important as you age, just to kind of keep that balance.
I wish we saw exercise as more of a less aesthetic kind of goal, and something like you said, you want to pick up your child, you want to be able to go and carry shopping bags when you are getting on a bit, you know.
But I feel like that kind of comes from where your journey in life goes. We all started out wanting to have a particular type of body, and I would actually say it wasn't until I fell pregnant and just was in awe of the female body. I have never loved my body more post having Jax, or ever been as kind to myself as I was when I was pregnant. And then I think your views on your body do change a lot, because you realize just what it is doing for you every day.
I wish more women spoke out about that. I really don't think there's enough people out there speaking about how pregnancy makes them feel and how incredible it is to even grow a human being.
We are amazing.
Yeah, completely amazing. And then what about other types of activities that are more kind of slowing down? Like, what about mother-baby yoga? We've heard a lot about that. Do you know anything about that
so
area?
I'm going to be honest, working full-time and having Jax, I'm one of those mums that hasn't been able to go to any clubs. Yeah. We go swimming on a Sunday and that's about it. But everything else, she kind of comes with me and joins in on things. But I cannot see anything wrong with doing anything if it gets you out of the house with your baby and it gets you doing some movement. So if it makes you feel good, do whatever you want to do. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of these classes are primarily for the mum, just for you to have that headspace. It can be really quite lonely being at home with a baby. They don't talk for a long time and no one's really asking you questions. And once the kind of support's gone from the first kind of couple of weeks, I think classes and being around other mums is really important.
And did you find it in the very early stages, for any mums listening, was it difficult to get out the house when you were by yourself? Is that hard?
Yeah, the more you can't, it's just unknown and you're just nervous about things. And I mean, I did get out, but I have a very supportive husband and also I'm very stubborn. So, and Jax was, to be credited to her, she was very easy, which was amazing. She did just sleep, poo and repeat. And that was all she did. So for me, I wasn't as nervous, but I've known mums and been in WhatsApp groups with mums that haven't left for the first 5 months and they're terrified too, or they've not left their child for 2 years because they don't want to be apart. And I think support is the most important thing. Talking to people and letting them know how you're feeling, because there is a way to get through everything. And a lot of it's kind of just taking that first step. And I actually think the quicker you can go out with your child, I mean, as soon as you can walk again or you feel you want to just go out, because then it gets rid of that fear.
Excellent advice, Carly. Thank you. So we've got lots of questions from followers for you today.
Cool.
Hopefully this will help lots of people. The first one is from Martha. And Martha has said, since giving birth 2 months ago, I just don't have the confidence to work out given my weight gain. Mm-hmm. How can I gain my confidence back?
Yeah, super common, because the body feels very different. I definitely recommend, if you don't have the confidence, then doing it at home. Definitely. And even invite round a friend if you've got a friend that you really feel that you can trust. So again, what I was saying before about putting out some different workouts in front of you, following a DVD, YouTube, there is honestly, the amount of free information out there right now is amazing. But start slow. One thing that I think is amazing when you have had a child is you have the ability to start from scratch again, because your body's changed so much. So you can kind of correct all the bad habits and literally start simple. So you can be like, any bit of movement is going to be great. So start less and slowly build up, and you'll have such a great journey ahead of you with workouts. So I'd probably just start on some compound movements, some squats, maybe get a couple of home weights and just see how you feel.
And you're only 2 months in.
Yeah, so I know. Give
hormones.
Time.
Yeah, it must be difficult. We have one from a guy, which is good.
Love
on this
that.
Subject. Kyle has said, is there a best time for me to exercise? I was once told that the evening was better as a parent. You know, I'm struggling making time for my wife and my child. So when should I go?
Yeah, so without factoring in the parent point, the whole idea about finding the time to work out, it is down to you. It is personal preference. So really, when you have your most energy is the most optimum time. So for me, I'm a morning person. If you're an evening person, then that should be the time. But if you are a parent, and I understand if you are perhaps a guy and you're working the hours and you're away, when you come home, you probably want to do bath time. So if I'm honest, I would probably say try and go in the morning, because hopefully maybe your wife has got a chance to go a little bit later. You could swap. So she could be at home in the morning so you can do your workout. Then she's at home with the baby, and then perhaps she can go work out while you go and do bath time, and she gets kind of like an hour's relaxation. So
that's true.
That's kind of how I would do it. But again, it is very much down to whether you are a morning or an evening or a lunchtime person.
Yeah, a bit of teamwork there as well, I think. Rosie has said, my friend tells me exercising on an empty stomach as a woman burns more fat. Is that really true?
Sorry. Do you want to answer that?
Do you know what? I just think... have a listen to all the podcasts, the Food for Thought podcasts. But Carly, to summarize.
No.
No. Yeah. No, that is not true at all. You don't need to starve yourself and then work out.
No, please do not. No. And just think of like a car. Would you drive it across the world if you had no fuel? Like, no.
No. I love the car analogy. Sophia has said, my daughter refuses to do any sport in school. So she's only 13. I don't know what to do. Oh, that is a tough age.
Yeah, that's really tough. So first of all, there's probably a reason that you need to find out. Sometimes it is because of pressures from other kids in school. Sometimes maybe she's just not enjoying the sports that she's doing, or perhaps also 13 is a really tricky age with hormones and changing rooms and
body
periods
image.
And all sorts of things. So I probably would think, have a chat with her to find out where she's actually at in her head. And then maybe just remind her that sport doesn't have to be the things at school. So fair play if she doesn't want to do the ones at school, but there are things you can get her doing outside of school. Mm. And again, if she's seeing you do some of these things, it might change her mind.
Yeah, I remember looking last year at some research papers that said that it's women in particular, especially teenage girls, it's the toughest age group to motivate to work out.
Yeah, I remember half the girls in my school always writing letters being like, I can't come away. I mean, we've all been there, just know it might be a phase. But again, just check out what else is happening at school as to why she maybe doesn't want her exercise.
I was one of those. I wrote letters to get out of cross country.
And now look at us.
Exactly. We move a lot now. There is hope. Georgia, this is the last one, has said, are there any exercises you recommend for new mums I can do at home?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, not to plug, but I do have a lot on my YouTube channel and on my Instagram.
Definitely,
and I'm always sharing them. And it is 100% just me on my social. So if you ask me for something, I will make sure that I create it. But again, think of the space that you have. I would probably invest in perhaps a kettlebell or some light dumbbells that you want to have. And then again, I would start really simple and think of ways that you can kind of move with your baby around. So I've got lots of videos where Jax is crawling all over me. But you can also really use your baby as well. So start light, start simple, and don't put so much stress on yourself. It's just moving, and before you know it, you'll be feeling incredible.
Oh, excellent. Definitely check out Carly. I can't recommend it enough. I know it's just adorable when you see Jax get involved. It's a lovely thing to do with your child as well. So that moves us on to the best part of the podcast, which is our fact or fiction round.
Ooh. Oh, goodness.
Are you ready, Carly?
Oh, yeah, I hope I get them right.
Okay, so answer fact or fiction to the following.
Okay.
You will get them right. The gym is more effective than home workouts.
Fiction.
The variety of exercise we do is more important than the frequency.
Fact.
Adults need more exercise than children.
No, that's fiction.
Yeah, I know, children have so much activity and energy. Exercise is superior to diet for weight loss.
Oh, I'm going to say fiction because I think you can do it with diet.
Yeah,
I agree. But I would like you to do both because I think they're just as important each other.
Bingo. If you want to lose weight, you have to exercise.
No, fiction.
Exercising when pregnant is dangerous.
Fiction.
If you stop exercising, your muscles will turn to fat.
Oh, fiction.
Excessive sweating while exercising means you're not fit.
No, that's fiction. Because you can just be very sweaty.
Yeah, I know. You should stretch before a workout.
Fact.
Weight training will bulk you up.
Oh, fiction.
That was an excellently fast, well-delivered quickfire round. Just on the last one, the bulking subject.
Yeah.
Can we just quickly explain why that's not true? Just because we get it consistently.
I mean, if you've ever been in the gym, let's be really honest, I'm sorry, guys. I've been around and there's been guys training twice a day and they still can't get big. So why do women think if they were to go in that they would get bigger? Yeah. I mean, some of us are predisposed. We all have different body types, but you have to work seriously hard to put on size. It is not an easy feat.
Nope.
And I think also the bulky thing needs to be adjusted because some people just actually love to be, depending on the exercises they're doing, are going to be more broad, are going to have a bigger build bum. But no, just doing exercise and generally the exercises that most people are doing are never going to make you bulky.
No, we just don't have the testosterone, ladies. So, you know, we don't need to worry about that. So that nearly wraps up this episode. But as with every guest, we finish with a food for thought.
Ooh.
So mine today would be that I think it helps to think of exercise as leading an active lifestyle with your children. And then you'll probably be more likely to fit it in, you know, rather than thinking of it as an individual thing. So if you keep it fun and varied, like Carly said today, you're far more likely to keep at it. It's a long-term thing. So there's a double bonus to staying fit as a family. Not only does playing and being physically active develop stronger muscles and bones, improve emotional well-being and promote better sleep patterns for children, so it's all swings and roundabouts, you get fit at the same time. So the key is to choose an activity that will work for everyone in your family. So if you just rewind back, Carly gave plenty of examples there. So Carly, if you could share with us one food for thought today.
Yeah, so anything. It's my ethos that I share all the time, which is move because you want to, eat because you can. Oh. I think it's super simple. Move because you want to. I mean, that you should start to enjoy it. And if you're doing exercises that you do enjoy, then you will move because you want to and eat because you can, because we're very lucky that we have a variety of different foods that we can choose what we want to do and that we have the money to be able to do so as well. So let's not make either of those things about punishment and more because we can and we want to.
Oh, that was absolutely superb. Carly, thank you for such an inspiring episode.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Food for Thought. It really is amazing to know there's such a craving to hear from expert voices in a world full of confusing advice. If you enjoyed this episode, you will absolutely love what's coming next week. So please make sure you click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And please, if you have time, do leave a 5-star review. It really does help to get our podcast out there to reach higher highs in the charts and hopefully help more and more people. For more information about my nutrition clinic, books, healthy recipes, events, retreats, and so much more, please visit nutrition.com and follow me at nutrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.